There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's been a while since I could hold my head up high. And it's been a while since I first saw you.
Welcome to another Pip Panther Rants and Other Sports Rants podcast. It's been a while. This is probably, you know, one of the most awkward things I could have done as far as entry music. I mean, it has been a while since I've podcasted. Yeah, it's been probably since March, I think. Yeah, because I think the last time I podcasted was March Madness, and it was right before the Final Four. I mean, I haven't felt like actually going back and scanning that, and I'm sure when I upload this, I'll say, hey. But I do remember it was right before the Final Four, and I think I was wrong on a lot of accounts, but of course, I use Stain. That's been a while. You know, this song, let's see, what... This song hit big, I remember, in 2001, I remember. And it was right before the summer was hitting. I remember, yeah, I went to X-Fest that year. And there was a big turnout for this group, I remember. Stained. Because I remember I went to X-Fest in 2000. Yeah, I went to X-Fest in 2000, and they... You know, they played then and there, too. And I do remember the headliners were, Everclear was one of them. But actually, the main headliner, I believe, was Stone Temple Pilots. I think Stain was on the main stage, I remember. And then, like, you know, I believe there was a smaller stage. And that was, like, freaking, like, Eve Six and Dynamite Hack and whoever else. You know. Yeah, that was right. Dynamite Hack, I remember, was supposed to be like the next type of Weezer group, and I don't know, they had that one song, and they just never, you know, it was basically an NWA cover, and they just never really hit it off after that, at least as far as I know. I mean, I'm sure the X is probably still playing that same old song again, you know. When I moved to Houston, I thought the rock stations would be different, but then you learn that they're all part of the same network, whether it's iHeartRadio or whatnot, Clear Channel, and you realize that they're basically the same stations. They're just different. Cities, so they play the same repetitive shit over and over again. Let me take a look at the lyrics here. It's been a while since I could hold my head up high. It's been a while since I saw you. I can stand on my 2 feet again. Okay, maybe this wasn't, you know, probably the right song to use for, you know, my sabbatical from podcasting. So what happened in the last 6 months? Well, nothing really. I mean, I was on some really big projects at my job, and quite frankly, I just didn't feel like I didn't really feel like recording. I mean, you know, I get probably, you know, ad revenue, you know, there's not much money to be made. So it's, you know, this, you know, so quite obviously it's not going to pay much. But, you know, that's what happens. I mean, that's, you know, if you go into this, you got to have some sort of business approach, and I really didn't have one. I just did it out of hobby, really. And not to mention, I'm in my mid-40s now. I'm even 44, so, you know, eventually, you know, I should probably grow up and stop doing something like this, but oh well. But yeah, well, this song is like, you know, 20-something years old now, and I know, like, after the, you know, 2003, he released an album, and it was all happy, and well, at least the song was happy. But, people felt it wasn't as good because he was happier now. It's amazing how, you know, it's amazing how that works, where we, you know, we just love trauma more than anything else. Trauma than happiness. It's, you know, it's amazing how that, you know, how that sells. But as far as the Final Four went, I mean, it was in Houston. I just learn that the BCS National Championship is in Houston this year, and I'm really thinking about going. You know, it depends on how much tickets are for not an arm and a leg. I was going to go to the Final Four, you know, since it was here in Houston, and I kept watching the ticket prices, and it was hilarious how every week they just kept going down and down and down. Like I think they were like $180 a ticket at one point. But when the Final Four was set, and I mean, the ticket prices really went down, and then when the final two, the Final Four was Miami, UConn, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State, and pretty much it was already set for UConn to win. I mean, they just had to get by Miami. I mean, ticket prices for Final Four, I mean, they really went down, but they were still a little bit up, but not too bad. I mean, they were affordable. But when the championship game was San Diego and UConn, God, there were so many seats for like $20, $18. I was going to go, but I do remember when I bought Final Four tickets for when it was in Houston 2011. And I remember I spent part of my tax return on Final Four and National Championship tickets. It was both of them. And I was so excited. I mean, the whole thrill of just being at the Final Four was exciting. But that championship game with UConn and Butler, it was such a dud that, I mean, the experience was great just being there, watching one shining moment and everything. But when I saw that the final game was going to be UConn and San Diego State, I came to the realization I wasn't going to waste probably, let's see, 20 for the ticket, you know, maybe a little bit over 20 because StubHub will do the, you know, the fees and shit. Maybe $20, $30 for the ticket. I'm paying 20 for parking. That's $50. I'm sure I'm going to eat, so maybe another 30. So I thought to myself, why should I waste my evening and my money on a really shitty NCAA final game? Because it wasn't going to be good. You know, it was going to be a really shitty game, in which it was. I didn't even watch one shining moment. I don't even watched any of the game either. I had really no interest in that game. I think maybe a Florida Atlantic doesn't screw up and maybe, you know, convert some of their free throws and guards, rebounds. Maybe for Atlantic UConn's a much better game, but, you know, it just didn't happen. So, what else has been going on? Well, we had conference expansion, and of course we still have conference expansion. Yeah, we have that going on, and USC and UCLA are moving to the Big Ten. You know, that happened. They left the Pac-12 or Pac whatever it is now. And then we had more expansion. I mean, the entire Pac-12 just fell apart. in the last month and a half. I mean, Colorado heads back to the Big 12. And then, of course, they're joined by Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. And then it looked like, you had also Washington and Oregon move to the Big Ten, and they're doing it at reduced shares. I mean, it was quite obvious the Pac-12 wasn't used to being raided, or its members, because for starters, they lost their two biggest brands, and you know, USC was a big brand, but UCLA, I mean, they were a basketball brand, but football, they haven't really done dick in a long time. And with no TV contract in hand, it was quite obvious that those teams in that conference were going to start listening to other conferences. The Big 12, obviously, you know, your mark. You know, I give him some credit. I mean, he was in there with the sure thing of keeping that conference alive. And, you know, Big 12 was one of the big winners of that, of this conference expansion. I mean, they added P5 programs at their conference. They grabbed Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. Whereas now if you're the ACC, you know, there's talk of them up adding South Florida, you know, Tulane and stuff like that. I mean, this is like the Big East all over again. You know, as far as adding teams. And the ACC said that they ran all these business models. I mean, they even talked about adding USC and UCLA, and it didn't benefit them from a revenue standpoint. I mean, you can't add the California market to your thing. And I guess they tried to add Washington, Oregon last year. There was talk of them, and Washington, Oregon weren't interested. I don't think they would be, considering that USC and UCLA were going to the Big Ten. I think if you're Washington and Oregon, it's Big Ten or bust at that point. And I think that's really what happened with Washington and Oregon. You know, they weren't ever going to probably agree to a television deal at all with the Pac, whatever they are now. I don't think that was ever in their agenda. I think once USC and USA left for the Big Ten, it was Big Ten or bust. They were looking to get out. And the weird part is, they could just stay in their, I mean, for what money they were making, they could just stay in their conference and made the same, almost the same thing if it had worked out. But whatever, you know. And of course, all the other teams got freaked out because, you know, and they all left. I mean, it's now the pack, whatever. I mean, they're lucky they're gonna get $20 million for their contract if they stay together. It may be less than that. I mean, the ACC is still trying to add Stanford and California as I record this. I don't think it's gonna happen. Notre Dame is pushing to get Stanford added. Personally, if I'm Notre Dame, why don't you just take your programs and stuff and move them to the pack, whatever. If you really care about Stanford that much and you're so worried about them not dropping to Division I AA or whatever, go associate yourself with the pack, you know, whatever, and rebuild from there. I mean, help them build their conference back. And that's probably what the issue is with this whole voting thing. These teams don't want them in there because, one, from a traveling standpoint, it sucks, especially for Olympic sports. And then, you know, and of course you got Notre Dame, you know, who's not really a full member. They have a vote. I mean, although that was known for years, they've had a vote. You know, I'm sure, you know, Florida State and Clemson don't want somebody who's not a full member, you know, adding their 2 cents on how to do their conference. Although the Florida State thing is hilarious as hell because they can't go anywhere at this moment. They're trying to find some sort of money. I mean, I'll say this: if they can find the money, they'll get out of the ACC. But they couldn't find it yet. So probably next year they'll keep doing this. Maybe then they'll get out. I'm not sure where they'll go. Probably Big Ten. I really don't see them going at SEC unless, you know, there's the majority. Because I thought maybe Texas A&M would oppose Texas, but I think Texas A&M pretty much was, you know, they were going to have to allow this because it's Texas. But, I mean, if we go back to the ACC raids, you know, when they raided the Big East, and when conference expansion heated up after A&M and Missouri went to the SEC, it was quite obvious that teams were talking to conferences. And they probably still are now. I mean, programs like Washington State and Oregon State, they can't say they were, even the, you know, the whoever runs the pack, whatever, they can't say they were blindsided by all this. It was quite obvious those teams were looking to get out at that point. You know, they had to do what they needed to do to find stable areas, stable conferences to go to. I mean, when the ACC started expanding, you know, around when the big, you know, when the SEC did and whatever else, you know, a bunch of Big East teams were talking to, were making phone calls. And, you know, Pitt and Syracuse ended up leaving. West Virginia went to the Big 12. Louisville ended up in the ACC as well. I mean, they were all making phone calls. They knew what was happening and what was coming down the pipe. And the Pac-12 just didn't see it coming. I mean, it was quite obvious after you lose two of your biggest brands, people are looking to go because then the money isn't as good. The TV money won't be as good. And yeah. So, and I guess if some teams aren't going to make the playoffs, you got to get paid in some way. You know, everything's going up. I mean, NIL is pretty prominent now, and we'll get into that here in a minute because, you know, because there's plenty of things to talk about in terms of that. Now, Pat Narduzzi has made some waves because he feels that there needs to be some sort of cap on the NIL. And everybody's taking that as Pat is being anti-player, which is kind of weird, but whatever. Pat's stance isn't so much anti-player. It's more that it's going to get out of control, for starters. And you wonder if college football becomes like Major League Baseball. So he's looking, I mean, he's looking out for the overall, he's looking at the overall picture of this, but of course you have the mouth breathers and the people who get angry all the time at things. You know, they get angry when it rains outside and whatever. And, you know, and it's not like Pat Narduzzi throwing his hands up and saying, oh, you know, we can't compete, we can't do anything. I mean, if you listen to his podcast with Adam Brenneman, the guy knows NIL is here and they're doing everything they can to move with the times and to stay competitive and to keep their players happy. I mean, he says part of his job is to fundraise and whatnot. And of course, you know, it was funny because every time I retweeted anything but that Pat was Narduzzi was quoting, I was getting a handful of Penn State guys saying, well, I, you know, if there was a cap on Pat's salary, I'm sure he would be upset. You know, Pitney's to blame, attendance, and blah, blah, blah. Pitt's attendance just is what it is. It's been, I mean, Pitt's attendance is, I mean, I've been a Pitt fan for almost, I can tell you back in like the early 2000s, Pitt's attendance was an issue, getting people to the games. And, you know, one season in particular where we had big crowds was the 2003 season. That team finished 8-5. I mean, we had Larry Fitzgerald, Rod Rutherford. We were returning, some really good players from that 9-4 team in 2002, and Fitzgerald was a Heisman, candidate, and they were ready to rock and roll. But unfortunately, we lost some big games, and that was that. And on top of that, the Big East got raided, so Pitt lost. They lost two big programs, two of the big programs at the time were Miami and Virginia Tech. Tech was overrated, but they always were good for a top 10 ranking, for early in the season. Miami, I mean, they just won a national championship, and they should have won a second one at that time. And that was the thing about the ACC is they were looking to grab more teams at that time. I think, Miami, Virginia Tech were, Virginia Tech wasn't even on the list to be grabbed. The politicians in Virginia got involved in that one. But Miami was their big, they wanted Miami. Because I think they felt the time with the BCS, if they get Miami, they get more than one BCS slot. Because Florida State, they were somewhat prominent still. I mean, they won a national title in 1999. Unfortunately, Miami's program bottomed out. I mean, the Coker era flamed out pretty bad, and that was that. But getting back to, Pitt and Pat Narduzzi, I mean, Pat knows what he needs to do. I mean, he's just looking out for the overall picture of college football. But in the meantime, he's still going to work with the NIL and make his players happy. I mean, but there was some interesting tidbits from that. I mean, one in particular was the Jordan Addison thing. He basically said when the season was over, he said Jordan Addison was happy at Pitt. But then he said, like, months later, all of a sudden, Jordan Addison wasn't happy. So he felt like, people were in his ear and recruiting him out of Pitt. And that was the problem he had was, the tampering. They're, people are basically, you have players and people are, they might not be in the transfer portal yet, but they're recruiting them into the portal. But, he said it seemed like it took like several months, for that whole thing to transpire where all of a sudden he wasn't happy. Now, speaking of Pitt and NIL, Alliance 412 came out with a new type of thing. For their membership, it looks really good. I mean, they're looking at the student plan. It's $10 monthly. You get a $20 voucher to the store. Monthly drawing for meet and greet, and of course you got the 1976 Society, which is $19.76 a month. You're getting a voucher, exclusive behind the scenes, invite to the Lions 412 tailgate prior to the Pitt home game. And of course, you got the 412 Club, $30 voucher, access to exclusive behind the scenes, tailgating, annual drawing for signed memorabilia. And you got that. And of course, you got the Royal, which is $100 monthly, which is even a lot more. And you got Gold, which is, well, the Royal is $100 a month. Gold, $250 a month. And you got Alliance Premium, $500 a month. And each one of these has more benefits to it. You can't go wrong there. I mean, you can't say that stuff isn't being done to help Pitt stay competitive in this market. I mean, this is pretty much one of the better plans that they've ever come up with. So people say, oh, what are they doing? Well, they're coming up with ideas. This is a really good one. I mean, because you don't want to throw, darts at the board and just hope something hits a bullseye or, whatever. But, go to alliance412.com/membership. Check it out. I mean, if you haven't already. I mean, it's, if you want to say you're doing your part, I mean, this is a good way to do it. And we'll finish off this podcast now with Pitt football recruiting, because I tell you that June's always a big month for Pitt. What was it? Yeah, June. That's when Monty Claus comes in and blesses us with commits. But looking at the commits here, how many did they have in June? Let's see: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They had 9 guys in June that committed. And on top of that, they added, 1, 2, 3. They had 3 more guys in in July and August. Pitt has, 22 guys committed so far for the 2024 class. Their overall rank is 34, which is pretty much typical for Pitt. Can't go wrong there. But, if we're looking at the breakdown by state, Pitt's got 7 PA kids, 4 Florida, 3 Ohio, 2 New Jersey. That sounds like the old Dave Wonstadt theory. Not theory, but method of recruiting. It was always, he always hit those states. Towards the end, it was mostly New Jersey. But Pitt also got a guy from Georgia. They got a guy from Maryland, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Virginia. So they're always going to hit the southern states. They even got a guy from Nebraska. They got a player from Nebraska, too, which probably he's an athlete, which means he probably ends up. My guess, he probably ends up. Let's see, special teams. Okay, Eric. I guess he's going to be a long snapper. I don't know, by the build, 6'7", 235, I would think he'd be a tight end. In fact, let's Google him real quick, because, I haven't really kept up too much with work, so. He's an athlete. Okay, a tight end. He's going to be a tight end. I figured by the 6'7", stance that he was going to be a tight end. But as I look over the commits, Pitt's got a lot of guys with the offer sheets are pretty good. They got a quarterback, and he's he's obviously the local kid. In fact, where is he? Yep, Julian Duggar. He's a southpaw, left-handed quarterback. Pitt's had some good history of left-handed quarterbacks. They've had, Tyler Palko and Rod Rutherford, 2 left-handed quarterbacks. I'd say history in both Western PA kids, whereas Julian Duggar's from Penn Hills. So they've had good success with that. So I'm happy with that. Pitt did land 2 really good running backs. So the backfield looks pretty good. Offensive defensive line. They've landed 5 O-line guys and 6 D-line. So, the last scrimmage is always going to be a big thing. Then, of course, 2 linebacker, 4 defensive back. Pitt's always going to load up on defense. And they did just that. overall, you can't complain. I mean, Pat Narduzzi has even said he recruits the best, you know, that's going to fit their system. You know, best 85 players. But overall, I mean, normally I break down this class, but, well, the PA kids, who did they land from PA? Cameron Lindsay, linebacker from Aliquippa. Jay Sherwittington from Philly, he's a defensive lineman. Jules Goff, as I said before. York, PA, Julian Duggar, quarterback. Penn Hills, Adam Abora, interior offensive lineman, Exton, PA, Tyuhas, Central Catholic, Pittsburgh, PA, and Giovanni Cooley, offensive tackle, Cathedral Prep. So those are the PA kids, pretty much. But yeah, I'm not going to get too deep in this list. I mean, a lot of these guys are three stars. Pretty much all of them are, at least according to Panther, you know, 247 Sports. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, being a 34 overall rank is pretty much typical. 22 hard commits. They did lose some commitments as well, but that's the thing when you land kids early, this early in the process, you're going to eventually lose some. It's just, it's part of life. It happens. Anyways, that's all I got for today, guys. Hail to Pitt. We will chat again as I will talk about what I, you know, my thoughts are on the Pitt season coming up, and of course the ACC as well. I'll look at.